Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate that you listen to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and also leave us some feedback. Rate us. Give us a review. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoy.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Are doing those parent-teacher conferences right now. It's like the early parent-teacher conference at my kid's school. Like, they've barely been in school, right? And barely getting to know them. But they check in, kind of give you the check-in. What's your kid doing? How's it going? I like to do that with Nick Daschle of the Oregonian. This is like a conference. I'm not sure who the parent is and who the teacher is. I'm not sure who the kid is. Maybe Oregon State's the kid. And Daschle is the parent, and I'm the teacher. I don't know. Nick Daschle of the Oregonian joining us. How are you, man?
I've been a million of those.
What's the best and the worst of the parent-teacher conferences that you remember over the years?
Oh, let's see. Well, my kids were model students, of course, so... but probably the best one was when my youngest was... I think it was kindergarten. We go in, she's been there like a couple of months. And, you know, the teacher, he's a really nice guy. He's a florist and he's a teacher and blah, blah, blah. And so he said, what he wants Monica to do is introduce her teacher to us. And so he says, Monica, you want to introduce your teacher to us? And she looks at us and just starts bawling. Just full on balling.
I love that.
It just disintegrated from there.
I like how you use the idea, the fact that he was a florist, as evidence that he was a nice person.
Well, you know, Mr. Koza. I don't know how many years ago, I still remember him.
But I imagine there's probably some florists out there that are jerks.
I don't know any. It's like I don't know any sports writers that are jerks.
Oh, no.
I know a lot of jerks that are sports writers. Daschle, you got Oregon State. They play Utah on Saturday. This will be a real test. They got a shot at a win streak here. How does that strike you when I say, hey, win streak and Oregon State in the same sentence?
Well, it's the next step. I mean, well, actually, I shouldn't say that. I should say the next step is putting on a competitive effort against a really good team, which would be Utah. But, yeah, if they were to get a win Saturday, I think that's kind of a double jump of a step, I think. And, man, I don't think anybody would have seen that coming, that Oregon State could pull off back-to-back Pac-12 wins in year two of the Jonathan Smith era.
He joined me yesterday on the show, and we talked about Isaiah Hodgins, who's a junior. He's got 9 touchdown receptions. I was a little bit surprised to hear him say that they talked about the possibility that Hodgins would go to the NFL before the season, and that's something that was on their minds even before the season.
Well, you know, I think Isaiah comes from a family where his dad played in the NFL, so he knows the game a little bit. He got engaged this summer, so, you know, he's obviously thinking down the road, and you know, he'd shown some signs last season of being an NFL type receiver. He just needed to do it game in and game out. And so I'm sure the conversation was, you know, can we do this every week? And if we do, can I play in the NFL? And so far, I mean, you'd have to say, you know, plan's working pretty well.
Yeah. I think too, you look at his 9 touchdown receptions, school record, Brandon Cook's 16. They have 7 games to go. He should be in contention for that. But Utah is a team that is one of the best defensive backfields in the conference. They are, I think, at the top of the conference when it comes to interceptions. They are physical up front. They cause some problems. This is a new kind of challenge for Oregon State, isn't it?
No, there's no doubt about it. I mean, they will not have seen a defense like this. You know, Utah's loaded pretty much everywhere on that side of the ball, but you know, it's not impossible. I mean, I'm not saying Oregon State has USC's talent, but boy, I watched that USC-Utah game, and they went up and down the field on Utah. So it's not like, you know, it's not like it couldn't happen. And you could argue right now that Oregon State's offense is as good as any in the conference. So, I mean, it's definitely a premier matchup, their offense against Utah's defense.
I think we spent a lot of time talking about Hodgins and the pass game and the offense. Has the defense improved in your minds? Are they doing a better job on the defensive side of the ball?
Yeah. Oh, sure. Yeah. The big thing is they're slowing down the run. The teams aren't just gashing them for 10, 12, 15 yards at a time like they did a year ago. Now, have they faced great running games outside Oklahoma State? Probably not. But everybody did it to Oregon State last year. They're not doing it this year. They're last four games, I believe, they're giving up just over 3 yards a carry, somewhere in that neighborhood. And they're not really the long runs aren't there. They're doing a good job of getting guys in front of them and not letting the tackles go. That was a big problem last year. But that's where the biggest improvement is now. You know, let's see what happens when they run into a team that not only can run it a little bit, but can throw it a lot. You know, I'm curious to see like a Washington State, which is way down the road. But a team like that, how do they match up against an offense like that? But, boy, I mean, the other thing about this Utah-Oregon State game is you got two quarterbacks that have not thrown an interception this year. I mean, you were in week... What are we in week 7 of the season? I doubt there's any games this week that match up two quarterbacks that haven't thrown an interception.
Luton's streak even goes back. I think he threw 5 or 6 at the end of the year. It stretches back into the last 5 or 6 passes of last season. It's remarkable to see that. Why do you think he hasn't thrown a pick? Is it that he's being more careful? Has he been lucky? Have there been a couple of times where you thought he could have been picked and wasn't? What's going on there?
You know, I haven't seen many balls that he's thrown that you went, no, that's a 50-50 or even less. I think that it's a combination of it. I don't think he's being, you know, super careful. I think he's just getting more time to throw, and he's also aware of when, you know, when the rush is coming. Whereas last year, I mean, he was just a sit and duck half the time because he couldn't move, and the offensive line didn't block as well for him, but... You know, it's a combination of time and as receivers, and he's, you know, Hodgins makes a big difference too. He when he needs a big throw, Hodgins is there to deliver for him. But I mean, really, the only interception they've thrown this year is the one that, you know, the one that bounced off the helmet of an offensive lineman, you know, in the Cal Poly game in the fourth quarter. Totally meaningless turnover. Otherwise, they'd have none. No fumbles, no interceptions.
We're talking to Nick Daschle of the Oregonian. You can read him on OregonLive.com, where more people than ever are reading the Oregonian. Look, Daschle, this season, they could be 4-1, but we can't dwell on that. I want to bring up something that's way premature. Is there a path in your mind as you look at the rest of the schedule for this 2-win team to get to 6? Is bowl eligibility a pipe dream, a long shot? Where do you classify it?
Oh, it's a long shot. I mean, mathematically, it's certainly possible. But, I mean, they'll have to win a game that you don't see coming, like Washington or, say, Utah this weekend. One of those games. They've got to win one of those. They've got what? They've got three home games left. To get to a bowl, I think they got to win all three of them. Or at least, you know, they got to win 2 out of 3 at least, and then they'll have to win at Arizona, probably, you know, win at Cal, something like along those lines. But I mean, if you look at the schedule, I mean, is Cal out of reach?
No,
I don't think so. Arizona. I mean, they're 2-0, but I mean, they beat a UCLA team on the last second. that Oregon State pretty well handled. So you would think Arizona's at least in the conversation for a win. And Arizona State doesn't scare anybody. And, you know, Washington at this point, you'd still have to think Oregon State's got their hands full there. But, you know, who knows? And those, you know, Washington State by game 11, will they have packed it in or will they be, you know, we don't know. So, yeah, I mean, the six wins out there, probably not, but it's at least a talking point at this stage.
Nick Daschle of the Oregonian. All right, give us the pace of this Utah-Oregon State game. Is this a game where both teams are in the 20s? Is this a game where, you know, what does Oregon State need to do offensively to be in this game?
Well, I mean, I'm going to pick it, I think, like 27-17. I think this is where Oregon State's offense kind of has, you know, some struggles. But, I mean, Oregon State's going to have to make some big – they're going to have to make some big plays. And they're going to have to do what they did to UCLA, which was they made UCLA drive the long field every drive. They did not give UCLA a short field. I think UCLA's best starting position was the 35. Everything else is the 25 and in. So, I mean, if you can make Utah drive the long field all the time, I mean, you got no matter who you're going up against, you got to make plays to drive 65, 70, 80 yards and score. So if they can do that and make a few big plays in the passing game, take it into the fourth quarter, I mean, at that point, they're playing with house money.
All right, let me just throw something crazy at you, because I think if you use Stanford as the Rosetta Stone in the conference, let's just use them for an example, and you say, okay, Stanford, Oregon State played right there with Stanford. Stanford beat Washington. By virtue of that, you go, all right, Oregon State could be in a game against Washington, right? And if you use Stanford as, look, USC is the team that beat Utah, you look at USC beating Stanford, and I go, you know, maybe Utah's better than Stanford, but not better than USC. And I just wonder what to make of this conference sometimes. But I agree, Utah coming off a bye week, I think, is a tall order for Oregon State.
It is, but I think also, as I pointed out, teams in this league this year, for some reason, coming off bye week, they don't seem to be playing all that well. So Oregon State didn't play well in the first half against Stanford. Oregon, I mean, you were there last week. Oregon didn't play that well, did they?
No.
I don't think they did. And Arizona State struggled against Colorado and lost. It's not. I mean, you think it'd be an advantage, but I don't know. I mean, Oregon State, when they came off a bye, played pretty bad in the first half, but since then they've scored 72 points in six quarters. So, I mean, they got momentum on their side. So, you know, Utah had better be ready. I like that a lot,
Nick Daschle.
Laying down the challenge for Utah to show up.
Nick Daschle calling out Utah. All right, before I cut you loose, Mel Tucker, Colorado coach, said that if he were doing a tag team cage match, he would take Mario Cristobal as his partner in crime. Is there another tag team duo of coaches in the Pac-12 that could stay in the ring against Cristobal and Tucker?
Don't you think Mike Leach would play dirty? I mean, you need somebody that would play dirty in a match like that.
I bet he'd have brass knuckles on. He'd have something under his shirt.
I mean, they all cheat in pro wrestling, so you know. I don't know. You got to have somebody that's willing to push the envelope.
I mean,
I don't know. A younger Whittingham, I think.
Yeah.
A handful.
Whittingham and Herm Edwards, would they stand a chance?
Yeah, I don't know. I think Herm would probably try to talk you into the corner or something. I don't know that his age he's going to intimidate anybody. I certainly don't think Jonathan Smith's going to. He'd probably be the last pick, I would think. Wilcox is another one. I could. You know, he's probably under. You'd underestimate him a little bit.
How about Wilcox and Whittingham?
I'd take that. I mean, I don't know. Don't you think Cristobal is pretty strong, though? I don't know how fast he is, but I mean, he'd be difficult too. But Wilcox and Whittingham, I can go with that one.
I also think you get Herm to do the like the pep talk, you know? Like I could imagine Herm walking into the room and
I learned this a long time ago on how I grew up. You got to be able to bet on yourself. You don't let other people set your expectations. Don't fall into that trap. I tell the players that all the time. I've been good enough in my lifetime. Bet on me because I know the work I'm going to put in and what it takes. And if it doesn't turn out that way, I can live with that. But I'm going to bet on me because that's all you can bet on.
Yeah. See, he gives the pep talk.
Yeah, but as long as he's not in the ring.
He's pep talking Mike Leach.
I'll go with you on Whittingham and Wilcox.
Yeah,
too.
All right.
I don't know that David Shaw would be my all that much either. So
no, David Shaw, he beat you at chess.
Yeah, he would.
Peterson, Shaw, Jonathan Smith.
Chip Kelly?
No, Chip Kelly might be last. He might be last.
He might play. Yeah, he might play dirty though too. He might get another one.
I think Chip might be last place. He'd want to watch it though. All right, Daschle, appreciate you, man. Good stuff.
All right, we'll see you.
Nick Daschle of the Oregonian, Oregon Live. Bruce Barton, Portland State coach. He's coming up. Plus John Levitz later in the show. John Levitz coming up later in the show. Encourage you to be here. He's going to spend about an hour with us talking about all things John Levitz. But before that, the big splash.
This is the one thing you absolutely need to know today.
Look at it.
Where?
Down there.
Must be
the big splash.
Well, the Dodgers blew it. The Nationals knocked them out. Top of the 10th inning.
Swing and a fly ball to center field. Bellinger going back, way back, at the wall, and it's gone. A grand slam home run for Howie Kendrick. 7-3 Nationals.
That's the way it ended on the Dodgers radio network. Here is the final call.
One ball, one strike. Turner loops it into short center field. Michael A. Taylor coming on, dives. Makes the catch, and the Nationals have eliminated the Dodgers. 7-3.
Sounded a little different on the final call of the Nationals network.
Swinging a fly ball shallow center, racing on is Taylor, closing on it, dives, and he caught it! A diving catch ends the series! What a play by Michael Taylor! A diving catch, and the Nationals, for the first time in their history, will play in the National League Championship Series. They're celebrating on the pitcher's mound, jumping up and down. Michael Taylor getting surrounded near second base with a diving catch to close out the Dodgers. Final score, the Nationals 7, the Dodgers 3. The Nationals win the series 3-2, and it's on to St. Louis to play for the National League Championship.
You probably knew all that, but did you know that Clayton Kershaw addressed the media after the game? He was professional. He was humbled. I thought it was a classy performance after a bad performance on the mound.
You know, I had one job to do, was get 3 outs, and got 1 out, and didn't get the other 2, and they went over the fence, cost us the game right there.
Went over the fence, cost him the game. Dodgers eliminated. A lot of talk right now about who will be the next Giants manager. Is it going to be Gabe Kapler? Dodger fans very unhappy in Los Angeles. All right, Bruce Barnum, Portland State football coach, coming up top of the hour. Plus, punch it audio.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Baldface.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald-Faced Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald-Faced Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.